Forgot how to start it. Let's get an actual welcome to the month of movies for the month of April 2019.
You prime it and then you jerk the chain.
What?
So you start it.
Oh, a lawnmower. this year, Jason, I'm Scott.
Yeah, I'm Jason.
And this year we are watching a collection of funniest movies.
Yes, a list.
A list of funniest movies. And then whatever other movies you watched during that month.
Mm-hmm. And then we got a little special treat at the end that we don't know what it's called yet.
Yeah. My cat, are you going to chew on the cords?
Don't chew on this.
All right.
It looks tempting.
We're going to start with the comedy movies first.
Oh, yeah.
The first comedy movie we watched is the classic...
Caddyshack.
Cattleshack.
It's about these guys who are caddies.
And they live in a shack.
And they work out of a shack.
The next movie we watched... Just kidding. No. This is a movie that everyone seems to love, and mm-hmm. almost everyone I know, except for, like, a few handful of friends, are like, I don't know the big deal. So I know you
mm-hmm.
And our friend Brian is like, I don't understand the deal.
I've seen pieces of it, but this is the first time I watched the whole movie.
Yeah.
So I got the whole experience.
Yeah.
it's a little all over the place.
It doesn't really have a place until, like...
The end, when they have the competition.
Yeah. Because you follow like a kid who's like in high school who's going to go to college,
mm-hmm.
but his family is kind of, they have tons of brothers and sisters, so they don't really pay
for college. He's trying to get a grant.
Yeah, he's trying to get this scholarship thing. Yeah, at the caddy shack where he works.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's one of those things that I'm not a golfer. Maybe it's funnier if you're a golfer.
Also, if it's funnier if you're, like, a fan of like comedians from the early 80s and, like, cat, what are you doing? All right, cool, found a bag. Like, is Rodney Dangerfield in this movie?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like...
Chevy Chase.
Yeah, Bill Murray. This is, like,
the main
guys. But... I don't know. I don't know what to say. It's, like, you follow the kid who's trying to get a scholarship for college, and then you just kind of follow a bunch of characters around. Like, there's, like, the main basis is, like, there's some people that are, like, rich, and they just want to play golf. Like, Rodney Dangerfield's character is rich, he just wants to play golf. But then the golf course is, like, we have a club of people, and... We want to be, like, higher status, and you're just fucking around and making us look bad. And then they get to a point where they're just like, oh, yeah, I bet you a lot of money that I can golf better than you. And that's basically the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a lot of just, like you said, it's all over the place.
And Bill Murray is trying to kill
a gopher.
A groundhog.
It's the size of a fucking groundhog. It's the size of a goddamn watermelon cat. I don't know what that meant.
I don't know either.
But it's like a full like, hand puppet. I don't know. Everyone loves Bill Murray in this movie. I'm gonna get a lot of hate for this. I'm not a huge Bill Murray fan, apparently.
To me, it depends on the role. Like, I like Groundhog Day.
Yeah, it's fine.
Ghostbusters
is great. But like, I don't know. Like, he just. I'm not going to go, I'm watching this movie because Bill Murray's in it. Like, there's a lot of movies I haven't watched.
There's a lot of actors like that.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, this person's in it. I'm going to watch it. I'm like, not for me. Yeah. I couldn't tell you one actor. I'd be like, oh, that person's in a movie? I got to see it. Like, I may have, like, ebbs and flows of, like, oh, this person's good. I want to watch more movies
from them. Simon Pegg or whatever. But even then, it's like.
But that's more the director.
I've seen maybe a third of the movie Simon Pegg's been in or, you know, stuff like that.
I don't know. I guess I'm leaning more toward the writers and directors than I am, like, the actors.
Yeah, because they can make anyone look good if you have a certain right person.
Mm-hmm.
But this movie, I don't know, like... I don't know. I don't know what to say.
If you follow actors, then you get those really shitty family movies.
Yeah.
It's like David Cross is in a... was Alvin and the Chipmunks?
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, then you gotta watch that stuff. Yogi Bear.
Yeah.
Did you know they're making a Tom and Jerry?
No.
With Chloe, what's her name, from the remake of Carrie?
Chloe Grace Moretz?
Yeah, she's, like, cast as a human in it. But apparently it takes place in a hotel.
Okay.
It's Tom and Jerry.
All right, whatever.
That's the future.
That's the future.
It's so, Caddyshack, I gave a 5. It was okay. It didn't suck, but it wasn't awesome.
I liked the part where like they're...
right on the...
at the pool.
Yeah, the pool part was fun.
Where, like, the just random people were just suddenly did, like, synchronized swimming just for the fuck of it. Like, oh, that's funny. It's just weird and awkward. Uh-huh. But I realized, oh, my God, everyone was sunburnt. I'm like, because they were probably out there for hours in the water just doing... I'm like, ooh. Oh, poor people. Yeah, I gave it a 5.5. It's fine. It's not something I would watch again if I had to.
Yeah.
Unless I had to, I mean.
Yeah, I'm glad we didn't buy it to watch it.
Yeah.
Because I would have probably sold it.
However.
And then we saw the second one.
Which I did buy the second one because I couldn't find it anywhere on Hulu or Netflix or anywhere.
And then
it fucking came to Hulu.
Right after you bought it.
Right after I bought it. But I guess what? I bought it for $2.
And it was more than that on there, right? Or was it just two?
Just two.
It wasn't like one of those mixed packs?
Just two. Number two.
Jesus Christ.
It was a cardboard case.
So Caddyshack 2 was like, hey, you liked the first Caddyshack, but we can't get the same people to come back. Let's make this crazy. And,
It felt
like they were trying to remake the first movie.
But also it felt like they said, back to school worked.
See, I didn't get that parallel.
Because the story... Okay, so the story is that his daughter... The main actress, I guess, she wants to get into this a club. This, like, golf club. I can't... This is not the right term for it. Like, what are those called? Like, when they have a special group of people.
Country club.
Country club. It's a country club. She wants to get in as a member. And her dad is like... And then like, oh, okay, you're a nice girl and stuff. And then the dad's like, hey, I got lots of money. I'm a really weird guy. Let me come here. And then everyone's like, whoa, you're... I guess Ryan Dangerfield's character, people liked that character. And that it's like
so this opposite. Guy is like trying to be like that, but not...
Yeah, it feels like he's trying to be like Ryan Dangerfield's character, but he's not.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just feels like... Like, oh yeah, cool, my dad's here to hang out. And then after all, like, I'm sick of my dad. Like, it felt like there's a lot of very same parallels of that storyline.
Mm-hmm.
But this one actually kind of had a storyline. The first one felt like you're just doing weird stuff. But it wasn't as funny, but to me it was more cohesive to go, oh, here's point A to point B.
I felt like the characters were way more annoying in this movie.
For sure.
Even, like, Bill Murray's character got replaced with Dan Aykroyd.
Yeah.
Trying to be Bill Murray's character. Holy but
well, he's a friend of Bill Murray's character.
So they tried to, like, act the same.
Yeah.
Which was terrible.
Yeah.
I thought, yeah, the fake Rodney Dangerfield was more annoying than Rodney Dangerfield. yeah.
Representing, though, that guy's from Sheboygan, Wisconsin.
Yay. I did not like this movie that much compared to the first one. I gave it a 4.
Gave it a 5.
And you liked it better and you gave it a lower score?
I didn't say I liked it better. I liked that
you just liked the fact that it was more coherent.
It felt like it was, yeah, because I hate when I'm watching a movie and I go,
what's
and
happening?
I'm not laughing, so it's like there's just nonsense for no reason.
Right. It's not like it's a funny movie where you're laughing the whole movie and then the plot kicks in.
Yeah.
It's like you're waiting for the funny and the plot.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So then the next one, the last comedy movie we watched for this month, was 4 Weddings and a Funeral.
Yes.
Hugh Grant,
the and, dude from The Mummy.
Hugh Grant as Hugh Grant.
Yeah. Hugh Grant as any character he's ever played.
Yep. I forgot that. Why did I?
You hated. You just deleted everything.
No, I typed Hugh Grant instead of 4 Weddings.
But
Andy McDowell.
Yeah, that's it. I was... The movie...
Speaking of Groundhog Day.
Yeah. The movie just kind of, like, you follow Hugh Grant's character over, like, he goes to a wedding and he meets this girl, this woman, and he's like, oh, I like her. One night stand. And he's like, well, that was a fun time. And then he, like, then there's, like, numerous weddings that happen and stuff. Obviously, there's four weddings and a funeral in this movie, hence the title.
Right, but they're not in that order.
Correct. It's just categorizing.
It's like...
How many weddings? Four. How many funerals? One.
Yeah. It's three weddings, a funeral, and another wedding.
Yeah. That's what you wanted. Yeah, yeah. If you really need to do a timeline, chronological order. But, and then it's all the situations that happen because of that. I don't know. I enjoyed the movie.
I thought it was all right. Like, I didn't hate it.
Yeah.
I didn't, like, love it. Rowan Atkinson needed to be in the movie more.
Yeah, it's true.
He needed to be in the movie more because it felt like they were setting up his character, especially after the second wedding. Like, he's back. Oh, my God. So each movie is going to be a wedding, and it's going to be, like, his character evolving, which would have been amazing. But, nope, he's not in after the second wedding.
Yeah, yeah.
Because the first wedding, he's like, I'm training to be a priest. So you can do weddings eventually. And then the second one, he's giving the wedding, and he's terrible at it, and he's nervous as hell. It's freaking amazing.
Yeah, and he just fucks up everything. It's fun.
That was my favorite part, was Rowan Atkinson.
Yeah, he... I'm trying to think of my favorite part.
It felt like it kind of got repetitive, where it's like, oh, the alarm clocks, oh, we're late, oh...
You know, it kind of shows what kind of character he was, and the fact that like, he's late the first time, like, oh, the rings... Oh fuck! I forgot the rings. As long as you don't forget the rings. Oh no! Then he's like, and then he's getting rings from random people. That was funny.
That was kind of humorous.
I loved his sister too, Scarlett.
She was very awesome. Entertaining.
I don't know. The only thing I didn't like it about it was it felt like Andy McDowell's character, the person you want the main character to go with, she's not a good character. She's like, hey, I'm here. You want to have sex? Sure. Oh, I'm engaged. Oh, that's not good. Yeah. I'm pretty 2D character. What's up? Hey, oh, I love you. Oh, why? Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm going to get married to this guy.
You're not supposed to look at it from her point of view. You got to look at it from Hugh Grant's. Like, I had this amazing night. I must find this girl again.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, he had this amazing night, sure, but... She wasn't amazing. She was boring to me. I was like, fuck, this character is not interesting at all.
Yeah.
So I just didn't care about her. I don't know. But it was still, I laughed more than I thought I was going to. That was going to be a weird rom-com movie.
It was a weird rom-com movie.
Yeah, but I enjoyed the weird rom-com-ness of it. So, what you doing down there, buddy?
I gave it a 5.
I gave it a 7. So... Take that in your pipe and smoke it.
Take that fifth wedding. Wait, there's only four.
They could have a sequel.
What up, Bob? What up, Bob?
All right. Now, those are the comedy movies.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I forgot about a movie I watched, I think, in March. And I remembered afterwards. I was talking to someone about it. I went, oh, yeah, I watched that. Oh.
See, I keep thinking I'm forgetting some of my
list. I am not keeping track of these very well at all, because the special movie we did, I didn't even write that down. So, awesome. So I watched sometime, I think, March or April, who knows, I watched a documentary called Abducted in Plain Sight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to see that.
It's,
I think it's on Hulu.
Yeah, it's on Hulu or Netflix, one of those two. It, unfortunately... I heard a lot of people saying, like, oh, it's so crazy, it's nuts, and this, and I'm like, okay, cool. And when you watch a documentary or a show or some sort of, like, thing, like, where you go, oh, what kind of crime-type story is this? Usually people hit you with key points, so they're like, okay, cool, I gotta see how crazy this is. And then you go, I didn't learn anything new. Because the main points they hit on are what people told me about it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they'd be, you know, it's...
Yeah, it's like whenever there's a documentary or something, you're like, oh, hey. Like The Act, for example.
Yeah, or like
it's like, oh, all I know is that she's da da da, and you're like, that's the twist.
Yeah, or The Jinx, when I'm like, oh yeah, this happened, this happened, this happened. I'm like, okay.
And I just like, know that what happens at the end because I remember the news story.
Yeah, that was great. But everything, yeah. Anyways, Abducted in Plain Sight. It's about a family, who. They become friends with, like, I can't remember if they're their neighbor or someone, but it's someone in their church, and they're good friends with them, and, like, and he's, like, I think he's married, but then he's friends with them, like, this family, and then, like, their daughters and stuff, like, they like him a lot and whatnot.
Whoops.
And,
fine.
Cat. Keisha, we're doing a podcast. But anyways, he ends up like, he's going, hey, let's go camping. And then I'm going to take her up to see the horses. Like, all right, cool. And then they never come back. And they go, oh no, our friend kidnapped her. And the weirdness starts happening where you find out, oh, this dude's a huge manipulator. He drove her down to Mexico and then, like, ended up, like, brainwashing her and making her believe that aliens came and said, you.
Oh, yeah, can't- this is the one he. Yeah.
You can't tell anyone about the aliens. Told her, like, you can't tell anyone about this, otherwise we'll kill you. Like, we'll kill your family. So she's like losing her goddamn mind, and she's like, and she needs to have a kid with
this aliens, other, right?
the dude that kidnapped her. He's like telling her, like, you need to have a kid with him. But by the time you turn 18, you don't have the kid, then we're going after your sister who's younger. And just like there's so much weird shit that goes on in this story. It's entertaining, but at the same time, like I said, it was one of those stories that I kind of knew most about already. So I gave it a 7. It's interesting. It's very strange. It worries me on how fucked up people are in this world. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So. I watched, there's a movie series on Hulu, I mention this every time, called Into the Dark. It's Blumhouse. Every month they do a movie based on that month. And since it's April, they did one on April Fool's Day. And it's called I'm Just Fucking With You.
Oh.
Or I'm Just Effing With You, however you want to say it. But I don't know what he's excited about. Oh my god, I'm trying to remember. So this main guy, he is going to a wedding. So he's pulling into this motel to stay for the night. And he's talking to his sister on the phone. And he's like, yeah, I'm pulling into the motel right now. Give me a call when you show up. You know, and then he gets there. And no one's at the front office of the motel, but there's an attached bar/restaurant. So he goes in there, and there's the bartender is there with a customer. And they're talking, and right away he starts doing the stuff like, oh, you have to do this. Just kidding. I'm just messing with you. It's April Fool's Day. And like, it's just like, he just keeps fucking with this guy. He's like, yeah, it's $40. Okay, here you go. And all of a sudden he's like talking. He's like, I'm going to buy you a drink. No, that's right. You never turn down a drink when it's offered to you. Oh, and he's like, oh, okay. And he takes it. And then, he's like, okay, Could I get my keys to my room? Yeah, you gotta pay for it in advance. You need a credit card. I just paid you. No, you didn't. Yeah, I just paid you. No. Why wouldn't I give you the key? You gotta put a credit card on file. And he's like, what? He's getting all pissed and goes, I'm just fucking with you. He's like, oh, Jesus Christ. And then, like, he's like in his room and he's knocking on the door. He's like, help, help, I'm stuck. I can't open the door. And like, he's like constantly messing with the guy. He's like,
yeah.
Oh my God, I'm getting so annoyed. So he tries calling his sister. She's not answering. And then he mentions something. He goes, no. And he says her name. Didn't try calling you at all. He's like, I never told you my sister's name. And then he starts like, wait a second, what the fuck? And then like, it just starts escalating.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very generic, kind of.
Yeah.
Because then people start getting murdered and
oh,
shit.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, it starts taking some crazy twists, but the ending is very bizarre. I'm not going to give too much away, but it... I'm trying to remember... I should just look it up. Because the main guy, I want to say he's from Scream or something.
Skeet Ulrich?
Yeah, Skeet Ulrich. He's the guy who's in charge of the motel.
Okay.
Yeah, what's he from?
Scream.
It is Scream.
That's like...
Wait,
like,
no, that wasn't him.
Oh, shit. Oh, fuck, Matthew Lillard.
No.
Jamie Kennedy. David Arquette.
No, I don't think he's from Scream.
Liv Schreiber.
Keir O'Donnell.
Oh, I don't know what that means.
He is... Nope, that's not him.
He's the main character.
Oh, no, no. It's Hayes MacArthur. He was in that Couples. This guy. The guy from that Couples show.
Oh, from Angie Tribeca.
Yeah, Angie Tribeca. She's out of your league. And stuff like that. Yeah. That's it.
Okay.
I was way off. Hayes MacArthur. He's the guy who's constantly messing with the guy.
I can see that.
I don't know what I did. What is this? What is happening up here?
Gee, you messed up your computer.
The tabs are messed up.
Oh, it's the Windows tab. Yeah, it's there.
Oh,
you go.
Oh, Jesus. That's weird.
Shows you the thumbnails of the Windows.
Oh,
the
that's tabs scary. Are weird. So it was one of those movies I'm like, it's okay, but then like enjoyed it more than I just, especially the very end is just not what I was expecting how it to end.
Yeah.
I gave it a 7.
Okay.
I thought it was a pretty good one. But yeah, I was getting so annoyed. I'm like, just stop. He obviously doesn't like these pranks, so just stop. But there's kind of reasons for it after a while, because then you don't trust him, and then...
Makes you uncomfortable, building up the uncomfortableness.
Yep.
All right, the next movie I watched was a remake of a movie I liked a lot. The original version I watched way back in...
The Eye?
No. I watched it back in September of 2016, called Suspiria.
Oh, Suspiria. I was going to guess that next.
When
I went to IMDb, that's what popped up on the top.
I know, I saw that. My coincidences today have been crazy.
That's because now it's Endgame.
Yeah.
But it's on Amazon Prime now, that's why. Oh, okay.
Because it's already been on Blu-ray. But I watched the 2018 version of Suspiria. Now, like I said, the original one I watched back in September of 2016, and I gave it an 8.5. This one, I guess, was half as good. I don't know how to explain this movie. It's they kind of like they don't bury the lead at all. Like they're just like, hey, by the way, this woman comes into the school for dancing. Like, and they go. They don't tell the characters, but like, by the way, this school is run by witches. Here's all the witches, like, doing all these things.
So it's not like a slow reveal. It's just, here it is.
Well, it's not a slow reveal.
I meant the first one.
Oh, the first one, yeah. It's
like, in the first one, the original, the slow reveal. The second one, the remake, they're just here it is.
Yeah, here it is.
Because you're too dumb to figure shit out.
But then the thing I didn't like about it, though, was the first one, the original, it's like, hey, what the fuck's happening? This is weird. Why is this happening? This is creepy. What's going on? This one's like, they're witches. So
it's, that's why.
So it's then, weird. Weird things happen. Yeah, I get it, because witches. So we need to knock that up a little bit and go, well, here's the weird shit we're doing, and here's this weird stuff, and like, it's almost like, hey, you know how magic exists? Like, here's us using it in all these different ways. But the movie is so fucking slow. And so, like, there's a few cool scenes. Like, there's a cool scene at the beginning. I'm like, okay, this is neat. Because the main character, like, they do this, like, hex. Because, like, right away, they're kind of, like, voting on, like, who should be in charge of, like, all this stuff. And, all the witches are voting. And then this one person's like, I can't take this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. And they leave. And, like, you can't leave. This is important to us. So they do this, like, spell on her. So when this dance student starts doing this dance, it cuts back and forth to this woman who tried, like, leaving the school,
mm-hmm.
Just being thrown around the room in response to this other person, like, this person dancing. So, like, she's, like, swimming, like, jumping all around and twisting and stuff like that, and the person's body's, like, flailing and crack, crack, slide. I'm like, this, if this is the movie, this could be really cool. But then it goes for another, like, 40 minutes of slow, and then it has a weird twisty thing, and then, like, a weird, like, boom, 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 weird stuff, and then it's, like, it's just, it was, like, fuck. And it kept having this weird story, this side story about this old man who's, like, I miss my wife, she went missing during the World War, we're Jewish. I'm, like, okay, yeah, I get it, you're an old man. I'm, like, but I don't like how this old man doesn't look like an old man.
Like, it looks like a person in makeup?
Yeah. Turns out, because it's not an old man, because Tilda Swinton's in the movie as, like, a dance instructor, Tilda Swinton also is an old man in this movie, just for a side story character, then the side story was just boring. I was like, oh no, I think I spoiled something for myself, because I was trying to figure out who the old man was. Oh, it's Tilda Swinton. But it's not like it's, oh, a magical thing. Like, oh, shit, I'm pretending to be two people. It's just her being an old man. And that storyline was like, it was a happy ending for that, like, for this storyline and stuff. I'm like, this isn't what this movie deserves. Like, I feel like this should leave you going, oh, no. Especially the way, how hopeless you felt during certain parts of the movie. I don't know, like, we were watching it with Kristen, and she was just kind of, like, doing her own thing. And then whenever some things were happening, like, they're intriguing, she'd, like, look up and be like, okay. And I'm like, and I stopped, paused. I'm like, I need to go to the bathroom. And then I paused it and went, oh, we're only an hour into this movie. We still have a full movie's length of it left. I'm like, I honestly thought we were close to the end. And it's like, you're an hour in. It felt like it was taking so long. I was so bored with this movie. There was maybe 10, 15 minutes of the movie I really enjoyed. The rest of it, I was just going, it felt like they were trying too fucking hard to be different. Like, yeah, like, oh,
like, it's not just a remake, we're something different.
Like, it felt like, you know, when Tim Burton does a movie, he's like, I'm learning what my feel is, and then it slowly evolves, and then, like, you watch, like, you know, Quentin Tarantino, and he does weird stuff, and, like, oh, here's my story, and this is how I do stuff, and shit like that. This felt like, I have a few movies under my belt, but I want to make sure you know that this is a special style. That's what it felt like to me. I don't know. I know some people enjoyed it. The weird thing is, I know this movie would definitely be one of those movies where it's not meant for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I should have been in that group of people where I should have liked it,
mm-hmm.
but I didn't. So I gave it a 4.5.
So it is like half.
Yeah, almost. But like, I feel bad because I'm like, it's one of those, like, I feel like I should have liked it. Because, you know, sometimes when someone's like, oh, I didn't like the movie, I'm like, well, then it wasn't meant for you.
Right.
I felt like this movie was meant for me, but at the same time, I'm like, it doesn't. Also, I learned, if a main character in a movie is a dancer, shit's going down.
Yeah.
Because I don't remember any movies where the main character's a dancer and bad things didn't happen. Because, like, we watched The Heirloom, I'm like, oh, no. And then I'm thinking back, oh, Black Swan, oh, no, the original Suspiria, this Suspiria, I'm like, don't be a dancer in a movie. I don't know.
So this is the scale, sorry, going to Caddyshack, the scale for Caddyshack?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, a lot in the middle, people are in it, and then the second one.
Oof.
1 star to 5 star.
Oh, jeez. There's a few people out there that enjoyed it.
Yeah, apparently, somebody did, Robert Stack.
Oh, also, yeah. Also, yeah, Robert Stack is amazing, but wasted that movie.
Yeah.
Also, Chevy Chase wasn't the same character in that movie.
He was supposed to be, but he was not acting the same at all.
Because the first movie, he's like, he had checks everywhere because he's a good golfer. He's like, had checks everywhere, like $17,000. Like, you can take it. Like, he doesn't give the shit about the money. And then the second one is like, look at, I'm playing golf in my giant mansion.
I'm rich,
what
bitch.
The fuck?
Don't you chew on that. I don't know what he likes about the film.
But anyways, yeah, Suspiria, sorry, he had a 4.5. Didn't care for it. I'm gonna do another one because I think I watched more movies than you.
You did.
Actually, I'm gonna do those two together. But the next movie I watched,
I have this left.
I can't count.
so I put numbers next to
it. Yeah, I should do that. Next movie I watched was an 80s classic, Big Trouble in Little China.
Big Trouble in Little China.
Now, I haven't watched this movie in its entirety since college, probably.
I watched it September 2015.
Really?
Yeah.
During the podcast?
Yep.
Don't remember that. Well, then, go back and listen to that episode. Because
I'm sure you talked about it then.
Probably.
Because you saw it, obviously, before.
Yeah, but not since I started the podcast.
I think it was one of the box sets I had.
Okay.
Because there's like 80s box set thing.
All right. Well, go back to September?
September 2015.
All right, go back to listen to that.
If you want to say something, you can.
Oh, no. I was just saying, like, for the review. Description of it. But, yeah, no, I watched it because I one time heard someone describe it as Kurt Russell doing a John Wayne impression. And I'm like, it kind of is like, listen here. Like, I'm going to do this.
Listen here, Pilgrim.
This is my thing. Where's my truck? Like, I don't know. But, it's a fun movie.
It's a little racist.
Yeah. A little bit, but that was the 80s.
They were racist all the time. Yeah. Long Duck Dong.
But John Carpenter movie, which I always forget that John Carpenter did.
It was a John Carpenter
And he movie. Did the music to it, too, because I forget he's a composer.
Yeah, his music is amazing.
I do like...
He did the Halloween theme.
I know. And
did the Christine.
Yeah.
He did the music in that.
Outside, so other funny. Than AC/DC.
Well, yeah. But I'm saying, like, he did so many... Well, they did the theme song. AC/DC did the soundtrack.
Okay. So what did you give it?
I gave it a 6.5.
Yeah, 7.5.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I was searching. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I saw that.
I
in the podcast.
I was like, I don't remember that, but that was also 4.5 years ago.
Yeah, it was 2015. It's 19.
Okay, 3 years. 4 years ago. Whatever the fuck.
Still 4 years.
I don't remember what I did 2 months ago.
I didn't even know what I did last week. So I gotta write these movies down.
How have I been here?
I was like, oh yeah, I did watch this movie this month.
Alright.
I said that to like three of them as I was... It's not great.
Alright. What was the next
one? So the next movie I watched Shazam.
Sorry, I was thinking Kazam.
No, not the Rappin' Genie. Shazam, the comic... character that people said. I watched this thing where they were talking about because the company that created Shazam or Captain Marvel, apparently DC sued them because they're like, you just stole Superman.
Yeah.
And then there's a lawsuit and all this stuff.
All-Star Comics.
Nope. Dave could tell you because he had the first appearance of Captain Marvel Shazam. But anyway... So Shazam, as people like to call it, is like the movie Big, but with a superhero.
Wiz Comics. Sorry.
Yeah, but there was a company that owned... Wiz was the name of the comic. The company was Del... I don't remember what it was called. I don't know. Dave was telling me. But anyway, so it's this kid who becomes a superhero by saying the word Shazam. And he doesn't know a whole lot about comic books.
Sorry, his publisher was Fawcett Comics.
Yeah,
Fawcett.
So he's a kid who doesn't know a whole lot about superheroes. He's an orphan. He moves into this foster home. One of the kids in the foster home is a huge superhero person, and he's obsessed with them. And the other kid's just trying to find his mom. And he's the one who ends up getting the superpowers, so the other kid gets jealous, and so you get that story going on. And then you got this other villain who was not worthy of getting the powers of Shazam, so he spends his entire life trying to figure out and get, like, try to figure out to get the powers and all this. Because when he was a kid, he went to the Rock of Eternity, and they're like, oh, there's evil in you, you don't have the powers. So then, since he was a kid... entire time he's been growing up trying to figure out how to get back there so he can get his powers, and he's the villain of the movie.
Surprise.
But he ends up, obviously he ends up getting back there and uses the monsters that represent the seven deadly sins, and trying to then eventually finds Shazam and wants to kill him because he thinks he deserves the power instead. And it's a fun movie. It is darker than I thought it was going to be because those monsters are pretty creepy,
yeah.
Which is awesome. But the way they advertise it is like, oh, this family-friendly movie. And then it's just like the first scene of the movie, you're like, I thought it was fun. I'm not going to give any of the key plot points away. or twists and turns in the plot. Because at the end, I was like, I was expecting it through the whole movie. Either something's to happen, or to be like the post-credit thing going, also this. But yeah, they do it like in the movie. And okay. I was like, okay. I was waiting for that to happen.
He poops his pants.
Yep. And then he goes Shazam and it disappears. Just kidding. I gave it an 8. I thought it was a very fun movie.
The more I hear people talk about it, like I feel like I'll probably end up watching it.
I think you might like it.
Yeah.
Because I know I made you watch the Green Lantern movie, which isn't as bad as everyone says it is.
No, it's not. But
it still could have been a lot better.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Much. I highly agree with that, but I don't think it was a bad movie.
Yeah. All right. The next two movies I watched, I'm going to just do these together.
Sure.
Because back in the August 2018, August of 2018, we watched Four Flies and Grey Velvet. That's part of a trilogy called the Animals Trilogy, or Animal Trilogy, or whatever, done by Dario Argento. So I watched the other two, which is funny. The trilogy is like just a theme of the movies.
Right.
So they're not like tied together. The actors are all different and stuff like that, whatever. So technically, the first one in the trilogy is Cat of Nine Tails. And then it's Bird with the Crystal Plumage, and then Four Flies and Grey Velvet. I watched them in reverse order, apparently. which, unfortunately, Four Flies and Grey Velvet was probably my favorite one.
Yeah.
But the basis of the first one, or so I'm going to start with Bird with Crystal Plumage, because that's the next one I watched. It is, it's, oh God. So a guy is like walking, like, and you'll see the theme involved in this. So this dude's walking, past this, like, this art, what?
Sorry, I was jumping ahead. I was guessing someone gets murdered.
Yeah.
And they get framed.
All the three movies are someone witnesses a murder, and then they're trying to help the police solve it.
Mm-hmm.
But it just depends on what kind of murder happened, what the people are doing, and then what the main reason is behind the murder. So in the Bird of Crystal Plumage, a guy is walking by this art exhibit, and he sees a woman getting stabbed, and then like he tries to like call for help, and then as he's like running up to the window, the murderer is like running away, and like by the time police come, he's like, the woman, I tried saving her, but the doors are locked and stuff like that. He ended up getting trapped in the entryway, so like, oh, we think you're a suspect because you tried leaving, and he said, no, I tried helping her, and then the lady wakes up and she's like, she's still alive. And they go, oh, she's okay. But then the guy is slowly trying to figure out what's going on. But I guess all these movies start mixing together. But So he's trying to help with that. I think he's an American, but he's trying to go back to America because this is like in Rome or Italy or some shit. I don't fucking know countries. But the ending of that story is actually pretty cool. I like the ending to that movie a lot. So I gave it a 7.5. And then the other movie, The Cat of Nine Tails. It's this one's a little different because like the main character is a blind dude, and then he's with his like niece who's like maybe 9 or 10, something like that. And they're walking past his car, and the blind man overhears some information like being whispered. Like, he's like, oh, what's going on with that? Like, he's like asking the girl like to describe what the people in the car look like and whatnot. Okay, cool. And then the next day, a guy gets hit by a train, and like, oh my God, the guy, he got hit by a train. And then the blind dude's like, take a look at the photograph. What's going on with this? And they find out that the guy was pushed onto the train tracks. You can like see like a hand in the bottom corner of the photograph and so that. And then the blind dude starts like trying to help the police with what's going on because he likes puzzles. Like he makes crossword puzzles. So he's like, I like solving puzzles.
You said blind?
Yeah.
So he makes crossword puzzles.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry, continue.
Like he has him like on a grid and he's like filling him out and some of that and whatnot. It was kind of cool. And that aspect was neat, but then the fucking whole reason for like the whole murder and that plot part, I was like, fucking dumb. So that one wasn't as great. I gave that a 7. So, you know, they got better as they went. Let's just say it that way.
Yeah, he's learned from his mistakes.
Yeah.
But it's better to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And start strong and then get weaker. The next movie I watched was Love, Simon.
No.
Which is a movie we were going to see, or I was going to see when we had MoviePass.
Oh, okay.
But I never got around to it. Whoops. Love, Simon is this high schooler who's gay, and he gets there. Going to school, and someone, there's like, hey, this guy named, he goes by the name Blue. He came out, he's in our class, and he's gay.
Yep, that one, okay.
And then they're like, who is it? And then, of course, Simon, who's gay, but no one knows, is trying to figure out who it is. And then he ends up becoming pen pals with this guy, and he uses a fake name. So then they're like, just basically emailing back and forth all year, and they don't know who each other are.
Yeah.
But the entire time Simon's trying to figure out who it is, and at the same point he's like not coming out to his friends and stuff yet because in the school everyone's like, oh, I don't know if you should, blah 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 blah. But then this one kid uses the computer after Simon, and Simon didn't completely log out, so he sees the emails.
Oh.
And he's like, hey, you're friends with this girl, you should try to get her to go out with me, otherwise I'm going to tell everybody you're gay. So then he like basically blackmails him into trying to date this girl. So Simon's like, I don't want people to find out.
Yeah.
And then he's trying to help her, and then she's, you know, it's, and this one girl really likes Simon, but obviously he's gay, but he doesn't realize that she likes him. And it's, I don't know, it was a decent movie. I just feel like people, I don't know, maybe I'm just like sheltered or whatever, but I feel like people are more open to gay people than they used to be. So, like, this movie doesn't seem like it would be current.
Yeah, I don't know. It's, I'm
also not in high school anymore.
Yeah.
So, like, when we were in high school, that was huge.
Yeah, the thing is, like, bullies are going to be bullies no matter what the fuck happens.
Yeah.
But if it's, if it is, I mean, like, I obviously, like, I have no experience on this either, but like I feel, I don't know, I'm sure things are better than they used to be, but also I'm sure shit still, because even if they are more open, you're a teenager, showing people who you really are,
right,
is not easy.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, Jennifer Garner plays his mom.
Okay.
And then who's the dad?
Josh Duhamel.
Is that
he's from the Transformers movies.
Oh, yeah, that guy. I thought it was okay. It wasn't anything phenomenal. It was interesting. I gave it a 7.
Okay.
Because it was on HBO, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I remember. I wanted to see that. And then, so I watched it. That's my story.
Oh, apparently he's in 11-22-63. All right, so that was, I did a Dario Argento 2-pack. I'm going to do another 2-pack for you. This is by the name of a man named
Stephen King.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Shyamalan-a-ding-dong.
Because I watched two of my favorite movies of his. Because I show Kristen my two of my favorite movies. We watched, the first one is The Village. Yep, I got it right.
I was saying that I did not watch it during the podcast.
I watched The Village. Because I enjoyed this movie, and I know a lot of people hated it because
I liked it.
Yeah, but the thing is, what I don't understand is everyone gives M. Night a fucking burn, like, fuck this guy, because, oh, he's always got to have a twist. The first movie he did had a twist. Second movie, not so much.
And then people got mad that there was no twist.
Yeah, third movie, not a twist.
Some people might say that, well, there's like
signs.
I wouldn't call it a twist, but there were signs of things to come.
It was just called fate.
We'll swing away.
Yeah, it was just called fucking Deus Ex Machina. That's not true. that's not the right one. But, and then, so then the fourth one, it's like, the fourth one, sure, it had a twist, but then it was like, oh, typical M. Night, have a twist, twist, everything's a twist. I'm like, this is the second of four movies that he has a twist on. Calm the fuck down. But like Blair Witch Project.
But the reason why people got pissed is because the twist made the movie completely different.
Yeah, but I still like that.
I do too.
But I'm not going to tell you what it is.
No.
But I'm just saying,
like, I understand because I can put myself in their shoes.
Yeah.
And I think that, yeah, and that's why I liked it a lot because I'm like, I wanted to know what would happen too.
Yeah. But the basis of the movie is that a bunch of people, it's like, I want to say the late 1800s, maybe early 1800s-ish, mid somewhere in the 19th century. And all these people live in this village where they have this...
old-timey village town.
Yeah, it's like fucking Little House on the Prairie times. And they live in this village and they have this pact with these things that live in the woods, saying, you don't cross into our woods,
and we won't
cross into yours.
Right.
But they have special, like, rules where, like, anything red is the bad color, and then, like, the yellow is, like, the color that scares the creatures away and stuff.
Which is kind of funny, because yellow's
cowardice.
Yeah, cowardice.
But then,
Well, then you find out that the red is because of blood.
Yeah. Red, blood is a bad color. Yeah. Because that means someone's hurt. Because
you don't want people to get hurt.
But the thing I like the most about this movie is that, like, the Blair Witch Project, there's a history. It's not like you're just watching a movie. It's like, it feels like there's a world before this movie took place.
Right. Well, there obviously is because it shows, like, like the newspaper clippings and stuff like that. So and the journals and whatnot. So you know that there's a history.
That's not all later.
But still, there's the hints there that there was a. This has been going for a while.
But the mythos and everything of like the creatures in the woods and stuff like that. Like I love that because it reminds me. I remember that movie's coming out reminding me of Bone, like the rat creatures and shit. Mm-hmm. And but then
just made me want him to do a Bone movie.
I know, but. I don't know. I don't want to go too deep into this because there's a lot of different various characters.
Right. And what's his name?
Pianist.
The pianist.
Pianist guy. The pianist and the jacket and the big nose man. Sorry. God, I'm gonna fuck. Okay, but Bryce Dallas Howard is as a blind character. William Hurt is her dad.
Sigourney Weaver.
Sigourney Weaver's in it. I forgot that she was in it.
I forgot it too. That's the first name listed on it.
Yeah. She's like one of the main characters.
Adrian Brody. Interesting character.
Yeah, he's a mentally stunted character. What's his name?
Build Your Endgame. Sorry.
The guy from Jesse Eisenberg. Is in it.
Is he?
As a very small character. The dude.
Jameson.
Apparently, the dude from Cabin in the Woods, he's been showing up in everything now. The stoner dude, he's in the movie.
Joaquin Phoenix,
yeah. Like,
Judy Greer.
Yeah, Judy Greer's in it. The lady, the president, female president from 24. Anyways. but yeah, no, I enjoy this movie. I liked it a lot. I don't know. It's neat.
It's definitely not for everyone.
No.
Yeah, I like the movie a lot. I gotta watch it again because I've only seen it like once or twice.
Yeah. This is only, I think, the second or third time I saw it. But since it came out in the theaters, like, fuck it.
But yeah, we saw it in the theaters, and I remember leaving the theater and I was like, that was really good. And the other people in the theater were like, that was stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
Yeah, but
I was very split. We're in the same showing.
I gave it a 7.5.
Yeah, I probably would too.
And the next movie I watched, this is like outside of The Happening and The Devil and whatever.
There's a lot of.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot more, but back like
at the time
is like apparently the worst one he ever did. Lady in the Water, which is
everyone's Airbender is the last one.
Which is one of my favorite. Well, I haven't seen Airbender, but like
Lady. I'm just saying like that's what people say is the worst movie.
Actually, no, the end of
After Earth.
After Earth, I heard. But Happening is just ridiculous.
I love that movie. So dumb.
But the... all right, so I watched Lady in the Water. Keisha helping it. Again, once again, Bryce Dallas Howard is in it. God damn it.
Well, once you work with the...
Yeah.
A director, you end up
working. Well, I like Bryce Dallas Howard. She was fine in this role. And then Paul Giamatti, he's like the super for this apartment complex. So he's like taking care of everything and whatnot. But then he comes across this woman who just like shows up. Shows up in the pool. And he like slowly finds out that she is like sort of this fairy. Like a... he's called the Narf.
I know the names are really dumb.
Yeah, which is it's like a sea fairy type thing, but
don't you bite?
Cat. Oh my god, I'm forgetting all the words in my brain. But yeah, she shows up and she has to like because they have a very small like history at the very beginning, saying like these people in the water used to help humans. Come up with ideas and progress their humanity and stuff like that. And then humans were like, we want to live on land. And they started building cities and they just started forgetting the Narfs, the fairies and stuff. So then every once in a while they send one back to try to cause like a chain reaction and awaken like the humans. So they have to find, like, so he comes down and he's learning more about this bedtime story from one of the older, ladies in the apartment complex, and then he's like finding out all these little different parts to like this story of like what she needs to do to get to leave and all this other stuff, and I don't know the way the movie is shot and the way the setting is and everything, like it, I like it because it feels like you're in that world and there's nothing else around you because you're like just mainly most of the time it takes place in the courtyard. By the pool or in like their apartments and stuff, and you don't see anything beyond that, which I feel it feels neat because it feels like you're in some sort of weird fantasy. I don't know, fantasy world type thing. I don't know. I just enjoyed the way the movie feels a lot, and it's entertaining. Fine. It's funny.
You're fine.
Paul Giamatti, Bernard from Westworld is in it. Jeffrey Wright. Yeah, a lot like.
Yeah, his hair.
The dude from 6 Feet Under is in it. The guy that did makeup. Yeah.
Oh yeah, Rico.
But yeah, it's a very weird, silly show, like movie. But I really enjoyed it a lot. I gave it an 8. It's like one of my favorite ones of his, and I know. Yeah. But that was Lady in the Water. I gave it an 8.
So I watched, Crazy Rich Asians. Crazy Rich Asians. So, I'm going to be bad because I'm not going to remember names. Because when there's a lot of people, I forget. And then since they're not actors I really know, I can't just go, yeah, Ed Norton did.
Yeah.
Constance Wu, who is from Fresh Out the Boat and stuff.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, so this one girl's dating this guy and... they're in America. I forget where in America, but they're dating and stuff. And he's like, "Oh, yeah, my I don't remember if it's a family member or a friend of his is getting married." So he's like, "We're gonna go back. I'm gonna go back home. We're gonna go back home, and you can meet my family and stuff like that." And she's like, "Oh, that'll be awesome." But what she doesn't realize is that he is really rich,
uh-huh.
And his family is uber rich.
Like they're from the company.
No, not the movie, not Uber, but like, oh, like Uber just, rich, just, but... yeah, just super rich. And she didn't know any of this stuff.
Yeah.
She just liked him for him. So when she gets there, they're all like, you're in it just for the money and all this. And like, he's too good for you and like trying to scare her away. And she's just like, feels, you know,
yeah,
doesn't fit in and stuff. I mean, obviously, it's a romantic comedy type movie, but I don't know. There's a lot of stuff they did during the movie that I felt was unique because the way they used text messaging and social media and stuff like that to communicate I thought was pretty unique.
Yeah.
Because obviously that's an everyday thing that we do now, but it's hard to portray it on TV.
Yeah.
Without it being, like, absurd and stuff. I don't know. I thought it was a really fun movie. And I don't know. I don't know. I just liked it a lot. I thought it was fun. But that was basic premise of the movie.
I mean, it was number one movie for a long time.
Yeah. Well, it was the number one comedy movie.
Yeah.
A romantic comedy or whatever. But yeah, I gave it an 8. I thought it was really good. Like, I enjoyed watching it the entire time and didn't get bored at all. I wasn't even on my phone or anything.
The next movie I watched, we watched Gremlins 2, because
the new batch.
The new batch. Now, the first one is fun.
Oh, we only watched the first one on the podcast.
Yeah. The first one's fun. The second one just is
leans
so...
leans into the ridiculousness.
Yeah, it leans in. It's so fucking meta. And at one point, like, the movie gets ruined, and then they show the movie theater, and, like, this the goddamn, like, guy comes down, and he's like, Hulk Hogan. He's like, why are they letting us watch the movie? He's like, and like, oh, Hulk, go talk to them. Hulk's like, listen here, brother. You got to start the movie. A lot of people paid a lot of money to come see this movie and some of that. And then they start the movie back up again. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
I remember that part. I was so confused when I was a kid. Like, yeah. I don't understand what's happening. I didn't realize that they were talking about the actual movie you're watching.
Yeah, the Gremlins movie.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Are you just getting in the way, cat?
You're scaring me, cat. So anyways, like, after the first movie, like, Gizmo gets returned back to the owner, basically this big corporation buys all of, like, Chinatown up so they can remodel it and, like, make it this giant conglomerate corporation type area, and they tear down the building. Gizmo, runs away because from the giant construction site. Gets kidnapped, ends up in the same giant building that Billy works at.
What a coincidence.
I know, right? Such good luck. But there's this big, huge science lab in the basement, or the top, I don't remember exactly, but, anyways, the gremlins happen, but it's in this giant skyscraper, and there's this, these serums or potions that they're making. And,
which doesn't make sense at all.
No, no, no.
There's electricity, and then there's...
Yeah,
spider.
A bat.
A bat.
The one that changes gender doesn't make any sense because they're asexual in the first place.
Right.
So why is she suddenly a woman? Because there are no women gremlins, except she's a woman now. But...
Yeah, it doesn't make sense because they're not men either.
Yeah. They're just creatures.
Yeah. Because if anything, they would be the females because they're the ones that give birth.
Yeah, like I said, they're asexual. They, right. Anyone can reproduce.
Right.
But,
there's no gender, so I don't know how you flip a gender.
Yeah.
No gender.
Yeah.
Right. Now you have a gender. Oh, okay.
But, yeah, anyways, so, like, it's a lot, it's instead of the whole city, it's just in a giant skyscraper. And, the problem is, like, once night falls, then they're all gonna, like, wreak havoc on New York City. I don't know what else to say for the plot. That's kind of it. I mean,
that's pretty much it.
It's like Gremlins, but with, like, let's have fun.
Your Gremlins were boring. Now we got these other Gremlins that have crazy powers.
I did like the fucking references they made to the first one. Like, in the first one, Phoebe Cates' character, she's, like, working at the bar, and the Gremlins like, we want a drink, and then one guy flashes her, and she's like, oh, Jesus. And this one... one of the gremlins flashes her, and she's like, nope. So, like, she shakes her head, like, not this time, and just, like, fucking punts him across the room. I'm like, haha, it's a callback. But then in the first one, she talks about how she hates Christmas,
mm-hmm.
and how, like, you know, awful it is. And then in this one, he mentions something like, oh, you know, for President's Day, or I can't remember what the holiday was.
It was something like President's Day or Flag Day or something like that.
Yeah, I think it was Lincoln's birthday or something. She's like... And then she starts going
into
this.
She doesn't actually say it. She just starts it, right?
She's like, oh, something happened awful one time. And on Lincoln's birthday, I was at the park with my mom. And this man came up to me dressed as Abraham Lincoln. And he... And those things, like, pulls her away. I'm like,
that's right.
What the fuck? She just had an awful life as a kid. And just
every
holiday's ruined for her.
It's just because they're talking about making a Gremlins show, TV show. Dude. And like, Phantom was like, I would just watch a show of all the Phoebe Cates stories.
Yes.
Like each episode is a different holiday.
Be great. But no, it's a fun movie. I enjoy it. I know some people think it's awful. But Eric thinks that it's better than the first one. I'm like, no, first one's classic.
Right.
But I gave it an 8 because I was thoroughly enjoying it.
The second one's just like, if we have to make a second one, let's just go crazy.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, I gave it an 8. Another movie I watched was a movie I've seen numerous times. Sorry. It's a movie by the comedy group Derek Comedy called Mystery Team.
Oh, I love that movie.
Because I thought it was a very funny movie, and I showed it to Kristen. She laughed. There's a lot of moments, but she's like, as a movie, she didn't like it. But she laughed at some points.
I feel like that's what Carrie would be like, too.
Yeah. Because, Mystery Team, there's this group of kids. They're in high school now, but since they're little kids, like, since they're, like, seven years old or whatever, they were this sort of, like, boxcar children or, like, Hardy Boys, like, type of... We're a team of mystery solvers. And people, like, pay a dime, and then they go figure out, like, who stole whoever's pie off their windowsill and some of that. But they're, like, in high school, basically about to go into college, and they're just still doing the whole Mystery Team thing, and everyone's like, what the fuck is wrong with them? They should be adults now. They're acting like kids. But this little girl comes up and is like, I want you to figure out who killed my parents. And it's like, this is something that the cops should handle. But then they're like, no, we need to figure this out. We never say no to a customer. And then, yeah, it kind of goes from there. But a lot of the characters are fun. What's his name? The dude from Saturday Night Live.
Oh, God. I almost had it.
Yeah, I know. He was Bobby Moynihan.
Moynihan, that's it. Moynihan is a piece of toast of a thing.
Yeah. His character, I love his character. Just like, hey, you and me. there's a lot of fun characters. The plot isn't, like, comedy groups, like, especially Derek Comedy, they had such weird flavor in comedy. And then to give him a whole movie, there's parts I'm like, all right, I can see how this lacks a little bit here and there. But I don't know, there's still quite a few things in the movie that I found funny. You squeeze my bread? God damn it. I told you not to do that anymore. Ha, little me.
That's not what I clicked on.
Pay in advance. throws ice, like, fucking... Murder mystery. What are you looking up?
I typed in Mystery Team. I typed in Mystery and that came up. That's what? The new Adam Sandler movie with Jennifer Aniston.
Well, I gave it a 7. So, if you want a weird comedy movie that has some funny parts, but also, like, isn't amazing, but still really funny, in my opinion, I don't know. Watching it again, though, I was like, I remember laughing so much at this movie, and I was watching it, like, oh no, this isn't as good as I remember it being. But, yeah, I'll do one more.
Okay.
Another classic movie I watched a lot as a kid, because it was on TNT every single weekend, was the Kevin Bacon film Tremors.
Tremors.
Because I found out they're remaking it, and so they made a pilot for it on TV with Kevin Bacon in it, but I guess it got canceled.
Oh, did it?
Yeah. Because I saw a trailer for it, and I'm like, oh, that'd be awesome. But it got canceled. That's why it was whatever. But Kristen never saw Tremors. I'm like, we're going to show this to you. So, if you've never seen Tremors, it's... Shit. Nevada, I think they're in? Paradise? Paradise?
New Mexico. Is it the filming location?
I think it's like... The city's called like Paradise, Nevada, I think. I don't know. Or Arizona. Somewhere down in the south, never east. I can never remember where east and west are.
East is to the right.
East is to the right. But it's the southwest, somewhere in the southwest part of America. But Kevin Bacon.
Nevada deserts.
Nevada. That was right.
Perfection.
Perfection. Paradise, Perfection, whatever. Perfection Nevada.
Perfection is better than Paradise.
There's a lot of weird seismic activity and some of that, and these two guys, like, they're basically like ranch hands, like help, like they just like they're gophers. Basically, they do odd jobs and like, you know what? Screw this city. We're getting the hell out of here. And but then every time they try to leave town, like something bad happened, like the road's out or this car is like lodged in the road or whatever. Like all these like bad things happening, and then they eventually find out that there's these giant worms that live underground, and they are attracted to any kind of sound, vibrations, or anything otherwise, which leads to them trying, them and the rest of people in Perfection, to try to survive the worms, these giant worms. Like it's like the small version of the worms from Dune. It's not a comedy, but it's a lighthearted horror? It's not really, I've seen it in horror.
I would call it sci-fi.
Yeah, it's more like a sci-fi, like a lighthearted sci-fi type, but I have seen it show up in horror genres and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't know what else to say about that. That's kind of the gist of it.
I love the scene where they're just jumping from rock to rock.
Oh, like they're pole vaulting?
Yeah. Because he can't touch the ground because then they send the waves and the things come after him.
Also, the image, that's not what they look like. It's like a Jaws. There's no teeth in there like that.
No.
They're like, they're almost like giant beetles with their mouths, like those ones of the clunk. I don't know. Not beetles. Whatever, man. Crocodiles. Cat, do you know what they are? No? All right, thanks.
You don't give a fuck.
Thanks for the help, pal. Almost like parrot mouths. But, and it's weird because Reba McEntire is in the movie. Yeah. Whatever. I gave it a 7.5.
So the next movie I watched was Black Klansman, which, was a pretty good movie.
Spike Lee?
Yeah, Spike Lee movie. So it's this black guy who is doing an undercover, he first gets a job as an undercover agent for the Black Panthers.
Okay.
Obviously, because he's black. So they wanted to make sure that this is a nonviolent protest group and stuff like that. So he goes there to go to the meetings and make sure that what they're doing isn't violent or whatever. And then he comes up with the idea, we should do the same with the KKK. So then he, like, just calls the Klan because he sees an ad in the newspaper.
Yeah.
And then he's just, like, talking to him and stuff. And they're like, yeah, we'll have a meeting and you can come in and see what we're all about. So then he's like, crap. So then he had to get another cop to be the person in person because obviously a black guy can't just go into the KKK.
Yeah.
So between the two of them, they're the same person. And they get into the KKK and they find out all these rallies and stuff going on. And at the same time, he's still like working with the Black Panthers too. And there's a lot of violent and nonviolent protests going on. But holy crap. I was telling a couple of people, these actors, the lines they've had to say in this movie, I don't know. I could never do that. I mean, I say some pretty offensive stuff. There's no way I could even, like, try saying that stuff, even if I was by myself. Like, it is so offensive. And some of these characters are just, like, complete dirtballs. Yeah. It's, like, very dirty, whatever. But I thought it was a really good movie. It was kind of weird because, obviously, it's Spike Lee, so he's got his agenda and stuff like that. So there's a lot of hints. Like, because they say stuff like, oh, yeah, we're going to make America great again, and, you know, stuff like that. And I'm like, those are subtle. And then at the end of the movie, they're just like, here's Charlottesville. Here's him saying, her president saying, there's people on both sides. And, like, they're showing movie clips from the news and stuff like that. And I'm like, I kind of got the message with the movie, and then you're just beating us over the head with it at the end. I felt like that was a little too much, but overall, I thought the movie was really good. I just thought it was weird that they used, like, current event type stuff, and then even then, it was just that. It was just the Charlottesville thing, and that's it. When there's obviously been a whole lot more white on black, black on white crime that's been going on aside from that one.
Yeah.
That was just the big one that brought it back. So it kind of, like, dates the movie a little bit, too.
There's a movie called The Black Klansman from 1966. Yeah, but
this one's called The Black K Klansman. Like, yeah. It's all one word.
But, like, it's after a black man's daughter is killed by the KKK, he seeks revenge by becoming a Klansman.
Hmm.
So it's a little different.
But this is based on a true story.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, this is a true story, which... In the movie, they were saying, like, you must destroy all evidence. We can't have people thinking that we did this and whatever. Yeah. So it's, like, it's all hearsay, but I'm sure it has happened. But I thought it was really good. I gave it an 8. Yeah, I gave it an 8 out of 10. That was good.
I
probably would have rated it higher if they didn't, like, beat you over the head at the end of the movie, but some people need that. Otherwise, yeah. They don't get what they're trying to say. Or they watch the movie and go, oh, yeah, we should join the Klan. Because what was that one movie? Because there's a part in the movie where they sit down and they're watching this movie about the South and the mistreatment of slaves and all this stuff. I want to say it's Song of the South? No, that wasn't it.
The Disney movie.
That was the Disney one. Oh, what was the movie they watched in here? But they were like, yeah, they released that movie and then people just wanted to join the Klan afterward. And it's Jesus. Like, oh, they kind of like, yeah, this is the best movie ever.
American History X?
No.
I don't know.
Black and white.
Whoa.
Oh, funny.
You were talking about the language. I was looking up quotes from the movie. Oh, boy. He says, shut the fuck up. And I'm like, that's too much. I'm just kidding.
No, he,
I know.
Yeah, he, like, lists, he just, there's a part where they're like, I don't believe that you're faithful to us. And he goes, well, I hate those. And he just keeps going, like, oh.
All right, I think it's this part right here. He's like, oh, the.
Yeah, Topher Grace's David Duke is weird.
The blank detective, did you ever. No, and he's like, are you sure you don't know who he is? Are you absolutely sure? Because that blank, 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 spear-chucking blank, blank, Mississippi Windchime? It's like Windchime.
Yeah, because I think that's the black guy saying
that. You racist. That stuff's funny. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. What happened?
I don't know. Lol. There's a quiet part in our podcast.
Well, I was looking at this. All right. Then the next movie I watched, it's one of those classic movies that I'm actually happy that I made this reference earlier. Okay. Let's go back. So I mainly watched this one again because my girlfriend's coworker made a reference at work that she didn't get. And I was like, you've never seen this movie? She's like, no. I'm like, we're watching this movie. Because it's one of those movies that you kind of have to see, whether it's good or bad, you like it or not, it's a part of pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of feels like, at some point, you like to have to see
Powers?
It. No. Jesus. No, Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Oh, that is a good movie.
So we watched that movie. It's a long one.
Mm-hmm.
I got the DVD version. We went to go pop it in. We watched it. It's like, do you want to watch the original version? Or the director's cut? Or the final cut? I'm like, oh, this has all three versions on it. I look. Excuse me, cat. That's my bag you're eating. Jesus.
What is going on with you?
He likes tape and bags. Whoa. Anyways, so we watched that movie. But, like, yeah, the three different versions is, like, a five-minute difference total, like, from the longest to the shortest. So it's, like, not a lot changed, I'm sure. But
Birth of a Nation was the movie that they're watching.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Sorry, that's what it was. Birth of a Nation.
I was just listening to something that they're talking about that. Yeah, I heard about that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that was like they were just like eating popcorn and laughing and stuff, and it's like,
oh shit,
this is terrible.
Yeah.
Sorry. Continue.
No, yeah, because I was listening to I think Harmontown about they were talking about that because he was doing stuff for February, which is Black History Month. And then Brandon Johnson, who's a black actor, and he was talking about like scary movies and things like that. Yeah, that Birth of the Nation. He's like, that's the ultimate scary movie for a black person.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't know what this movie is. I looked, I'm like, oh no, I don't want to watch this. I don't want to be uncomfortable.
Originally called The Klansman.
Yeah. Anyways, Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Something happens. Where these, they're like, I can't remember where they're living, somewhere. And these UFOs suddenly just appear out of nowhere one night, and a bunch of people see it. And the main character, played by Richard Dreyfuss, he sees the UFOs, and he slowly becomes obsessed with something. Like, he starts drawing shapes. Like, most movies, when someone's obsessed with something, they start drawing things and reenacting things and doing things. But he just becomes so obsessed in the whole UFOs that his wife is, like, losing her mind because she's like, you're scaring me. You're scaring the kids. But he keeps seeing this, like, this mountain that he's, like, building. I mean, it's the Devil's Tower out in Wyoming, I think.
Colorado.
Close, out there in the West. It's one of those West states. Yeah, that's a 2.5 hour long movie.
Devil's Tower.
That's like a 2.5 hour movie that it's like, it's just, you're watching.
It is Wyoming.
You're just watching this man's Devil's obsession.
Devil's Tower is in Wyoming.
Yeah. You watch this man's obsession, like, overtake him. It's a good movie because it's, like, it's Spielberg, a young, early Spielberg. It was, like, 1977, I think. I think he's just hot off of doing Jaws, I think. I could be wrong. But Richard Dreyfuss is great. Like, the little kid in that movie is such a good actor. Like, it's so weird seeing old movies and going, how did they find these kid actors back then? Like, that little kid just, like, wanders away and stuff like that. It's fun. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't have much, like, I feel like it's a long movie and not much happens in it, but no. So much does.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of character stuff. And then, like, we were watching it. I'm like, all right. And this isn't a spoiler, but we're watching, like, all right, it's like 2 hour, maybe it's like 2:15, somewhere in there. It's like, I think it's 138 minutes, or whatever. So 2:15, like, we're watching, like, all right, oh, like, Devil's Tower, like, now he's like, him and the lady who her kid got abducted, or whatever, they're on their way to Devil's Tower, and they start, like, climbing the mountain. I'm like, all right, we're in the fucking end zone now.
Yep.
I pause the movie for a second, and I look, hour half. Like, we still have 45 minutes of the movie left. The end scene is literally, like, a half an hour of just boo, 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 boo,
yeah.
Boo. I'm like, it's just, like, a fucking half an hour of, I'm like, there's nothing happening in this scene. It just keeps, and they just, I'm like, they're, and then the end happens. You're like, okay, that's it. But it was like, I thought we were almost done, and they were two-thirds done. I'm like, the rest of it, do. But it's still a good movie, but I definitely don't need to watch it again the rest of my life. Cause I've already seen it twice and that's enough. But I gave it a 6.5. Like I said, it's a classic, but it's not one you can watch numerous times. But I want to sidetrack tangent. I was doing Comedy City Show and, we're playing a game called What Are You Doing? Where we like, get a suggestion, and then we like start doing activities, and actually ask what you're doing, and then they say something, and we take on those activities, so on and so forth. But the suggestion was potatoes, and then one of the guys like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Playing with my potatoes." So I'm just like, "This means something. this is important. I think two people in the audience laughed because they got the reference, and no one else laughed. I'm like, fuck it. That joke was for those two people.
Yep, those two people get it.
All right.
So the next one I watched, you watched.
I sure did.
Is The Meg.
Oh, fuck.
And I just remember going, yeah, I think I'm going to watch The Meg. And you're like, why? I'm like, because I feel like I should.
September 2018 is when I watched it. I reviewed it.
Yeah. Yeah,
both.
So, September 2018.
Yeah.
So, you can go and listen to his take on it. I am going to say that this movie took itself too seriously.
Yeah.
I think you said it in your podcast, in your review, that Rainn Wilson's the only person who understood what was going on as far as acting-wise. And if all the characters portrayed themselves similar to the way he portrayed his character, it would be more enjoyable.
But since no one else did, his character was so fucking... It felt so wrong.
It should have been ridiculous like Piranha.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they should have aimed for. Not, we're going to be bloody serious like Jaws. And then, I don't know.
I guess part of that was, like, they're trying to aim for the Chinese market or the Asian market. So, like, they didn't want to be too slapsticky and weird because that's not the kind of movies that they go for over there.
Right.
So they're trying to split, like, what movie can we make? But it should have
either gone, like, super serious or super ridiculous.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have split it.
No.
Like, it should have been either one or the other, not both.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the way the movie was, it's like, okay, this is where the first movie would have ended, and now we're only an hour in, and now it seems like we're in the sequel. Like, I gave it a 4.5.
I gave it a 4 back then. Yeah,
so I apparently liked it more than you.
By half a point.
By half a point. So, yeah, that's...
That's one of those movies, though, too, like where it felt like all the characters just... Like, we want to make 17 characters, okay? Well, who's going to be this? Fuck it, have this character do it. Like, but this is all too convenient that all these characters are all in the same place at once. Yeah, whatever. Fuck it. Oh, you mean he's on the same sub that his ex-wife is on that saved these people that did this? And like, yeah, whatever. Not a lot of people in subs these days. I don't know.
Okay, so this is the part that annoyed me the most.
Uh-huh.
During the movie, they're like, we're going to break through. We'll be the first people to get through there, you know, to go that super deep and stuff. And they're like, there's only one other person down here that came down here and survived. I'm like, you just said you were the first people. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. If someone else was down there, guess what? You're not the first anymore.
Yeah, but, like, I think below the point of...
Whatever. But either way, they're acting like, we're the first people to ever do this. And he's like, I was down there. We saw that creature. I'm like, so they're not doing any breakthroughs. They're just covering what you did.
Yeah.
That annoyed me. Like, you can't even keep your continuity in your same movie.
Yeah.
So it's up to you. For the movie reviews now, because I don't have much left.
All right. The next movie I watched was a movie called Snatch.
Is that the one with Brad
Pitt?
Yeah. The guy, I think he did Trainspotting.
Yep. Madonna's husband.
Guy Ritchie.
Yep. That's a movie. Oh, no, he did Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels.
That's what it was.
Yeah. I never saw Snatch before.
He can't understand half the stuff Brad Pitt is saying.
I actually did all right. Fucking Parkies. But the movie is... It reminds me of a sort of, like, weird action-packed... I don't know. Because there's so many stories going on at the same time. But it seems to revolve mainly around this diamond heist.
Mm-hmm.
Where there's this, like, giant fucking diamond that, like, these people are trying to get a hold of. These people are trying to get a hold of. And it's, like, watching the movie, I was having a hard time following along. And then I went, oh, no, I have to describe this. And I was trying to think of, like, because I'm like, oh, that. I'm like, there's all these stories going on at the same time. I'm following them. But how do I explain this on the podcast? So I guess I'm just going to read a IMDb Unscrupulous boxing promoters, violent bookmakers, a Russian gangster, incompetent amateur robbers, and supposedly Jewish jewelers fight to track down the priceless stolen diamond. I guess that, there you go. That is pretty good. But yeah, Brad Pitt's character is amazing because he's like playing a boxer, but he, they want him to, like, they're trying to bet on they're trying to fix a boxing match because he's like a bare knuckle, like, brawler type guy. Like, we want you to go down in this round. He's like, that's not what I do. Like, no, you have to. There's a lot of money, and like I owe these guys lots of money, and if you have to fucking go down in this round. And in the first round, he just knocks the other guy out and like, you just fucked us. And then and Brad Pitt was awesome in that movie. The fucking dog, because like right away there's this dog, and like, he chews on the squeak toy and just like chews it and then fucking swallows it. Like, he just ate a chew toy. So the whole time, like, the dog's like, every time he breathes, you hear the squeak going, or they like grabbing the dog. It's like squeak, squeak. That was fucking hilarious. But there's a lot of great actors in this movie. The movie was over before I even realized it, because there was, like I said, there's so much shit going on that I'm like, I couldn't keep up. And it's not, it's not a short movie. It's not a long movie, but it's not an overly short movie. It's like an hour 45. So, I mean, that, it blew by pretty fast. There's a lot of good people in it. Benicio del Toro. That's, yeah. I don't know. I gave it a 7. 7. Yeah, yeah. The next movie I watched was a movie that was on my horror movie list from last year that I never got around to watching. And it was my friend Eric's, like, one of his favorite movies that he liked a lot. I know it was a Criterion Collection movie. I'm like, all right, cool. I know nothing about this movie. It's called Night of the Hunter. So I'm like, I'll check this movie out. This is exciting. Again, these two kids in this movie are awesome actors. It takes place... No, it doesn't take place. I think it was a movie from 1960s. It's old black and white and shit.
What was it?
Night of the Hunter. But it starts with this... Night 55. Shit. Where these two kids, like, their dad, like, comes home with, like, and he's like, I think he's got, like, blood on him or whatever, and he's like, kids, hide this money. Like, basically, he just, like, robbed this fucking bank. He's like, hide this money. Your dad's gonna go away for a long time. Just don't promise me you'll take care of your younger sister, and you will never tell anyone where this money's hidden. So the police come, they take him away and stuff. And then while he's in prison, he has a cellmate who's this, like, preacher. But the preacher is kind of, like, off a little bit. Like, you can tell he's kind of, like, not a decent human being. Like, he kind of, like, uses the preacher aspect to be not a great person. But he can just trick people because, like, oh, he's a preacher. He won't lie to us. So then, like, the dad, like, he finds out that the dad has, like, $10,000, which in, like, 1955 is a shit ton of money.
Yeah, it's during the Great Depression, it says.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, sorry, the movie was taken in 1955, but the movie takes place during the Great Depression. So that, yeah, it's fucking tons of money for them. So then the priest gets out of jail, and he goes to the town and, tries, like, because I think... the dad either gets killed in prison or, like, he was, like, sent for execution or something, but he dies.
And then he gets his sentence to death.
Yeah, because he killed someone. So then the preacher comes to town and, like, kind of sneaks into the family and, like, tries to marry the wife and, like, oh, you need a good man to take care of you and this and this. And then he's, like, but then when he's with the kids, he's, like, all right, where the fuck's the money? you know, and I don't think he squares at them, but he's like super like just.
It would if it was made nowadays.
Yeah, like super fucking like just like, I'm going to hit you, child. I'm going to like do this and this, and like, oh, me, we're just playing with the kids. It's okay. And like some of that, like just like that really creepiness to a point where like the kids run away because he's so fucking evil and shit happens in the movie. I went, oh, that took a turn. That they try like running away from him, and like he's like stalking them across the like, cause they get in a boat and go down river, and he like tries to follow them, and a lot of stuff happens after that. Not a lot, but like it's, I didn't know what to expect from this movie, and a movie called Night of the Hunter. This did not.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like
it didn't right. fit the movie to what I thought was going to happen. But it was still entertaining. Like I said, the kid actors were amazing. The little girl was fantastic. She must have been like 5 when the movie was being made. And she's like, I don't know what to do. I don't like this. And like, just, because at one point she pulls the money out and she's like just cutting it up. You can't be mad. I didn't tell anyone about the money. And she's like just cutting it up. And he's like, it's still all here. Like, what the fuck are you doing, little girl? Stop it. But yeah, it was decent. It wasn't as amazing as I was hoping it was going to be. So I gave it a 7, though. The next movie I watched was a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
I know Jason watched it
in April.
Years ago.
Christmas Chronicles?
What?
Christmas Chronicles?
No. I know you watched it years ago. I don't think it's during the podcast, but it's called Love, Actually.
Oh, I don't think I watched that during the podcast.
I
think I watched that when I was in college.
Yeah. When it came out. Probably. Because it came out like around 2003. But it's...
You can't spell Cloverfield without love.
Oh. Okay.
I just typed in the word love. It's about Cloverfield. Yeah, I guess love is in the middle of clover.
Yeah.
Sorry.
the CR. But I love actually... you follow... A bunch of different characters, much like Snatch, but not as angry and violent. You follow a bunch of characters that all have, like, are completely opposite sides of the spectrum, like, covering every fucking, like, important part of relationships. Like, one character, he just finds out his wife was cheating on him. One character, he finds out his wife just passes away. Meanwhile, their son is in love for the first time. You find out, like, this one people, they just get married. This one dude, he's, like, he wrote a love song years ago, and he's trying to, like, recapitalize on that, but he's just, like, I'm party animal, I don't give a shit, I'll have sex with anybody. Another character, two characters you follow, they're, like, they're just starting a new relationship, and it's, like, all these just weird, different, and then situations of love. It was very campy for me.
Yeah.
It was a little too campy. Like, I should have brought a tent along for how campy it was. Nope. You like that joke?
No, all right. I didn't.
Okay, well, whatever. I mean, some of the characters were fun, but, like, and it had a lot of great actors in it. But some of the stuff, the memes and just references to things... Like, I knew it was going to happen eventually because, like, oh, I'm holding cardboard signs and this and whatnot. But,
I just love the guy who has got the famous hit song and then he has it turned into a Christmas song.
The guy from Shaun of the Dead?
Yeah.
And, like, and then when he keeps trying to sing it for the Christmas, like, he keeps getting the words wrong because he keeps singing the original version. And they're like, oh.
Well, it's like they're shoving extra syllables into it.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it should work.
And they're just like, this is shit, right? And they're like, yeah, it is. I don't know. I feel bad because, like, that's one of Kristen's favorite movies, and she watches, like, every year. And I didn't care for it because it's not my kind of movie, but I watched it. I gave it a 5. I don't know. It's not my type of movie. Like, if it was 1 or 2 or 3 character stories, but, like, there's one point I'm like, there's got to be something coming up where they all tie together. Otherwise, this is just like, here's a bunch of stories, and that's it. I'd be like, no. But then they'll show up at the musical at the end and this, yeah, and this. And again, Hugh Grant was Hugh Grant. He was he was basically Hugh Grant, but I don't know. I guess I'm turning
into the same character from About a Boy.
I feel like I'm turning into a weird adult now because I'm like, I don't care for Bill Murray. I'm like, this Hugh Grant character, though, I'm digging him. I'm liking him now. Like, we're just, I don't know, with Four Weddings and a Funeral and then this one, I'm like, he could have been the same fucking character. I don't know. But, yeah, I don't know.
How is he not one of the top characters in this movie?
Hugh Grant?
Yeah, I guess there's a lot of people.
He's a prime minister. I don't know. I'm guessing if I had to guess, I would say Keira Knightley's probably like second. Colin Firth.
He's fourth.
Liam Neeson.
Sixth.
Jesus.
Yeah, Bill Nye is the top one.
I mean, he was like the first person on screen.
And then Gregor Fisher, Rory.
Who's Gregor Fisher?
Played Joe? I don't know. I don't know these people.
Like, let me see. I'm like, I have IMDb on my phone, Scott.
But you can like, just look. I thought Hugh Grant would have been higher up there. He's like way in the bottom.
Yeah. Martin Freeman was in it, and I feel like...
Is he in this movie?
Who?
Hugh Grant.
Unless it's going by, like, appearance. Here, right here. Top billed cast, Hugh Grant.
Oh.
And then Martin McCutcheon.
Well, look at mine.
That's probably for in order of appearance.
Oh, credit order.
Yeah. Because it's like Hugh Grant, Martin McCutcheon... Liam Neeson, Laura Linney, Bill Nighy, Gregor Fisher. Oh, I think Gregor Fisher was the his Bill Nighy's character's like manager. Probably, I don't know. But yeah, I don't know. I give it a 5. Actually, probably actually changed it to 5.5. It wasn't awful, but I just wouldn't watch it on purpose. But yeah, well, that brings me to the last movie of my normal section.
The Avengers?
No. Yeah, that one. What? What was the question?
This is the last movie.
No, that was the last. Yeah, well, the thing is, we watched Avengers Endgame.
Mm-hmm.
But to review it, I think we might just do a separate...
Like we did with...
The Dark Tower. We're probably going to do like a review, spoilerific review. Not spoilerific, but like a freedom. Well,
so Kiri's parents were like, we should go see Endgame. And Kiri's like, you should watch Infinity War first.
What?
Or any of them.
Yeah. So we're probably going to have a separate episode that we can just talk freely and not worry about, because I don't like getting spoilers out, so we'll talk about that one late, like in a different episode, mm-hmm. and then we can just be like, spoilers if you have already seen it.
But we can still do a quick review thing.
Yeah.
Just so we can throw our rating out there.
Yeah.
So if you haven't seen Infinity War, you shouldn't see this, because this is like a direct sequel.
Yeah.
I think you'd be very confused if you didn't see Infinity War.
As weird as it sounds...
Actually, maybe not, because they kind of summarize a little bit at the beginning of what happened.
Kind of.
I guess you could go into it, but yeah, that'd be kind of weird.
That'd be weird. It'd be a weird thing to do.
I remember someone going, don't you have to see like all of them? Like, nah, I think if you only watch The Avengers and Civil War, you're probably fine for the most part.
Yeah.
It's like the specials that you don't need to buy every freaking tie-in in the comic book form.
Yeah.
The movie had a lot of ups and downs. There was some stuff I really, really liked about the movie, and there was some stuff that I really, really didn't like about the movie.
Yeah.
Which, I was just talking to Dave about this, that I feel like they were way more extreme than Infinity War.
Yeah.
Because there was not as much in that movie that pissed me off.
Yeah.
But this might have had more payoff scenes in this one than Infinity War did, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Which we kind of can talk to once we do the spoiler one.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Overall, I didn't think it was as amazing as the other ones. It's still good. I'm not going to say it was a crappy movie. It was a very good movie.
Yeah.
It was a nice bookend to the last 11 years.
Yeah.
But it's definitely not the best Avengers movie, but it's definitely not the worst.
True.
Out of the four. So I think to me, this is probably like the third best.
Yeah.
Because the first one's really good, and Infinity War is better than this.
Yeah.
So mine would be like 1, 3, 4, 2.
Yeah.
I gave it a 7.5.
Me as well.
Yeah. So if you listen to our podcast, I give 7.5s a lot. But they're movies that I enjoyed watching. I don't regret watching it. I might watch it again. But I'm not going to go like out of my way to watch it again. But if it was on again, I would watch it.
Yeah.
That's what like 7.5 is. I enjoyed it more than I disliked it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I gave that a 7.5.
Yeah.
Okay. So now it's the part of the show where we don't know what we're calling it yet.
Mystery movie makeups. Make 'em ups.
Yeah, we'll talk about the best and worst of the month after this.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I forgot how we did that.
Mystery movie make 'em ups.
So we have... Scott and I buy a lot of movies.
Yeah.
And sometimes we buy them not knowing what they are.
Yeah.
Because, like, place is going out of business and we're like, hey, it's a dollar. I like this actor.
Fuck it.
Or this cover looks interesting.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So we have movies and we're just like, we should watch them.
And I like going into things unknowing.
Right. So every month we've been taking one movie, looking at the cover, doing our summary of what we think the movie's about.
Yeah.
And then we give it, and then we watch it, and then we say what the movie's really about.
Yeah.
And this month, we watched a movie called Drop Dead Sexy.
Yes.
Which we explained last month.
Which and our explanation is right here. I'm just going to go all out and say they're invited. These two friends, this is a crush from high school crush.
Okay.
I'm guessing.
Yeah.
And they go, man, we never got to date her. And they go,
She died.
It's like, oh, we should go to the funeral. And then while they're there, they're like, they realize,
we never had sex with her.
No, I'm guessing because Jason Lee and Crispin Glover, they seem like the kind of characters that would play.
Hey, Crispin Glover looks like a...
Well, I'm going to say, I feel like they're the kind of characters who, like, they play characters that are, like, typecast into guys that don't really have their lives together. And I'm going to guess that she has some sort of, like, weird, like, money coming in.
Mm.
For, like, let's say, like, oh, she realized, because it's Drop Dead Sexy. So I'm guessing she is an adult film actress.
Oh.
That they might have gone to high school with. And then, like, they need, they in order to make money, like, they pretend that she's still alive to sign a contract where it releases, it's just Cool Flick.
It just is Cool Flick from ain'titcool.com.
Cool Flick. So I'm guessing, they're using her to get money because she's, like, an adult film actress.
So, yeah.
We were kind of right in some aspects.
Yeah. Because I was like, it's kind of Weekend at Bernie's a little bit, I guess. I was going to say, it's not Weekend at Bernie's.
No.
But in the bedroom part,
yeah,
it was kind of.
But anyway. also the fact that, like, I was like, oh, they're trying to pretend she was alive so they could get money, but they knew she was dead, but they're still trying to get money.
So let's explain what the movie's about. So, Jason Lee and Crispin Glover.
Which, no offense, I'm realizing that I'm not a huge fan of Jason Lee.
He's not a great actor.
He's
not. Crispin Glover is an amazing actor. He is.
But, like, Jason Lee will play...
He's himself in everything.
He's himself, and then Brody from Mallrats.
Yeah. So, Crispin Glover plays a guy who works in a graveyard. He digs graves and buries them. And what does Jason Lee's character do?
I think he just, like, is like a...
He lives at home with his mom yet.
Yeah, because he does the like deliveries and shit for like that dude.
So there's this guy who, yeah, that's right. He gets him. Anyway, this guy has Jason Lee, Crispin Glover do a delivery. This movie, the chronological is all over the place.
Yeah.
It's one of those that has, like, later in the movie at the beginning.
Yeah, I hate that.
I hate those. But anyway, they're doing this delivery, and then the truck blows up, and they're like...
They're supposed to bring cigarettes somewhere.
Yeah, they're crossing the border with cigarettes. They're importing cigarettes illegally into the U.S. or something, and the truck explodes. So they're like, oh, we got to hide out, but we got to get money.
To Mexico.
Right. Yeah. So they're hiding out because they know their boss is going to be pissed. And then they're trying to figure out a way to get money so they can reimburse him for the cigarettes that got destroyed.
Uh-huh.
So they realize that this rich guy's wife dies.
Yeah.
And she was buried with this $1 million necklace.
Yeah.
So, like, we could dig her up, get the necklace, and we'd be rich.
But also at the same time, though, like, you, when the truck explodes, you find out that, like, their boss, like the guy who told them to do that, set it up to explode because he meant to kill them.
So, but they didn't know that. Yes. Yeah. So, so they dig up the body and realize the necklace isn't there. So they pull her out of the coffin, looking to see if it's in the coffin somewhere. And then Night Watch guy comes and they're like, oh, shit. So they hide him behind the tombstone. And he's like, oh, you're working. Oh, yeah, I forgot to finish burying this body. Okay. And then he sits down and just watches him. He's like, okay, I guess I'm... bearing an empty casket. So then they have to figure out what to do with the body.
Yeah.
And then it's hijinks. And it's weird. I don't know what else to say.
It was very cookie cutter.
Yeah.
But with a few small things here and there.
It was cookie cutter but unique at the same time.
Yeah. Nothing stood out though for me.
It was one of those things that's like, I can't imagine the writing process. They're like, hey, okay, we're going to write a movie. Let's try to think of a way that this body gets unburied. Like, I don't know how you come up with the idea for this movie.
Yeah.
It is weird. I didn't think it was terrible. Like I said, Crispin Glover's performance is amazing. I don't know why this guy's not in more stuff, because every film he's in is completely different.
His character from Friday the 13th Part 4 is amazing.
Well, Willard, Back to the Future, which I think the Back to the Future thing probably put him on a blacklist when he tried to sue, because they were going to replace him in the second movie.
Yeah.
And he's like, I copyrighted that character. And they're like, what? So then I'm sure that put him on a blacklist.
Yeah, probably.
Because he knew what he was doing, and he was smart, and yeah, that would have sucked if they would have had someone else. It would have been like the fake Rodney Dangerfield in Caddyshack 2. I gave it a 7.
Okay.
I didn't think it was that bad.
It was all right. I mean, I wasn't like bored on my mind, but also I wasn't entertained.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just looking up the Jason Lee's mom. She's been in a lot of stuff, but I was trying to see what she's been in. But she's been in tons of stuff. I'm guessing she's in something about Mary. I'm guessing I think she's the one with the dog.
Okay.
I don't remember. Oh, she was the landlady in Kingpin. That's why I recognize her. Yeah. But I think I gave it I lost my 5.5.
5.5.
Yeah.
It wasn't terrible.
No, but again, it was like,
all right.
There's better stuff.
Do we want to say the best and worst first, or do we want to do the next movie?
Sure, let's do best and first worst.
Okay, so the best movie I watched this month, I have a 3-way tie, was Shazam, Crazy Rich Asians, and Black Klansman with an 8.
Best I saw this month was tied with an 8, was Lady in the Water and Gremlins 2.
All right. The worst movie I watched this month was The Meg. Nope. Caddyshack 2. Caddyshack 2 with a 4 was my worst.
Worst I had this month was Suspiria, the 2018 version, with a 4.5.
All right. So now you're pulling out a DVD.
Yeah, I have a stack of DVDs of movies I don't know anything about. So you give me a number between 1 and 9.
3.
Oops, I knocked
from the top or the bottom?
I guess in the top. So the movie that you picked was one called, oh God, Night Watch.
Why is it in Russian?
Because it's a Russian movie, I believe. No, well, the language on it is English, Spanish, Russian, and French.
Okay.
Now, I don't know much about this movie. The few things I do know about the movie is it was supposed to be part one in an anthology or...
God damn it!
Or trilogy.
Sorry.
But apparently it didn't do so hot.
I'm just pulling it out because the sticker's blocking. Okay, so it says Night Watch, and then it looks like it's in Russian underneath saying Night Watch. And then it says, The New Face of Terror is Cool as Hell.
Okay.
By Ain't It Cool News. And it shows, like, it looks like a wall, but a face.
Yeah, it's right? like a face.
And there's birds flying through, and it looks like there's a baby in his eye.
Yeah. A baby.
Like a blue baby in his eyeball.
Also, like his face... You see his face, and, like, there's a city behind him, but then, like, chunks of his face are broken out to look like a stone wall.
Yeah.
But then there's, it looks like a war going on behind him on a bridge. Like, there's someone on a horse and a whole bunch of people, like, just with sticks and spears and stuff.
So it's definitely a guy who's been around a long time.
Is this, it's London
or something? It looks like London. Big Ben,
kind of? All right.
I don't see Big Ben, but I see...
I don't know. It's a tall building. So...
This looks like some kind of war.
Night Watch.
The baby looks like he has spider legs.
I'm guessing... Is that
the baby from Dark Tower?
Oh, I was thinking it's the baby from... the
Toy Story?
Yeah.
Mordred Hungry.
Like I said, I heard this was like a trilogy or something... But then I guess it didn't do well, so then I don't think they made the rest of them. There's the
baby on the side.
Or if they did, they didn't make them here. Because I think it's a foreign movie.
So it's 2004. So Channel 1 Russia.
Okay.
But it's 20th Century Fox put it out.
So Night Watch, and there's a war and stuff. It makes me almost want to think there's birds...
I want to say vampires.
Yeah, that's what I'm guessing, like vampires.
But these are birds, not bats. I feel like if it was a vampire, it'd be bats.
But they could be crows or that's ravens.
True. Ooh, the crow.
Ooh, yeah. Undeadness.
Yeah, the ravens. There's a lot of ravens at, in London.
But also, like, the right side is a white, and the left side is, like, a red and black. It almost feels like one side's good, one side's evil. Like, there's the two different sides.
Inner evil.
Ooh, shit. Because like his face is chipped off like a stone. Birds. I don't know. Night Watch.
I think it takes place over a long period of time.
Yeah.
And it's the same guy.
And it's the light and darkness fighting this age long war of the Night Watch, which is not a Game of Thrones reference I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
Because I think.
Maybe he is the Night Watchman to make sure people don't get killed by crows.
What? Oh, fuck. Night Watch and then the fucking... Are these ravens? Is this Game of Thrones before Game of Thrones?
This is the third... Is the three-eyed raven?
I don't know.
Which, by the time we watch this, Game of Thrones will be done.
Yeah. I'm gonna go with that. It's just a vampire war over time.
I hope it's not vampires.
Yeah. I hope not either. It's got the widescreen English version.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other side.
Oh, it's a two-sided thing. No, it's just one-sided.
The flip side is a widescreen Russian version.
Oh.
So the English version on one side, the Russian version on the other, instead of just dealing with, like, subtitles and audio channels, I guess.
Yeah, it just says widescreen version presented in Letterboxd.
All right. Well, that's what we think Night Watch is, and we'll find out next month if we're wrong. Because so far, we've been wrong.
Right. I like how side A, dual layer. Side B, single layer. What?
Because it's in Russian? I don't know. Also, wait a minute. It has English, French, what does it say, Spanish, and Russian?
Why is there... you're pointing and saying different things, but they're all on that list, just in a different order. Is it Spanish when you said French? And the next one's Russian, which you said was Spanish. So it's English, Spanish, Russian, French. Subtitled in English, Spanish, French.
But why is there an English side and a Russian side when there's two other languages?
Maybe that's what the dual layer means.
Maybe they edit it to be different. Maybe they edit it to be like, the Russian side, the Russians win. The English side, the English win. I don't know. Let's find... We'll find out
in May.
Yeah. So, I guess...
If you guys come up with a good name for this segment... We got some movies for you.
Yeah. I don't
ones from this segment that we don't want to watch again.
Well, who knows? Maybe
this will be added to the pile.
Who knows? Even other movies.
I don't know.
If you bought a movie called Caddyshack 2, maybe that'll end up in the fucking pile.
Yeah, because I don't know. I might hang on to Drop Dead Sexy. I don't know yet.
Do what you want, man. It's your goddamn movie.
We'll see how long it takes someone to come up with a good name.
Yeah.
What did you call it?
Mystery movie make-em-ups.
Mystery movie make-em-ups. I like the make-em-ups.
Yeah, because we're guessing. But yeah, if you have any ideas, email me at stuffbyscott@gmail.com. If you have any suggestions for movies you want us to watch, or like say, hey, you were wrong, I liked this movie, or you were right, this movie sucked. Email me at stuffbyscott@gmail.com. And with that,
that's a wrap.
This is a Scott Does Stuff podcast.